is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Happy Friday, Pelicans fans. I'm your host of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, Jake Madison here. I'm also a writer with BourbonStreetShots.com, at Nola Jake on Twitter. I've got a great interview with Bourbon Street Shots writer Graham McQueen coming up for you. We're going to play that for you. We're going to dive right into it. We cover all sorts of things Pelicans related. We're talking Drew Holiday mainly, Solomon Hill. We touch on Langston Galloway for a minute, Tim Frazier, the Anthony Davis injury, expectations for the season. This is the longest Locked On Pelicans episode yet, so I'm really happy to have him on here. Definitely give him a follow. It's on Twitter. It's at Graham McQueen, GrahamMcQueen. Exactly how it sounds. At Graham McQueen on Twitter. He's a writer for Bourbon Street Shots. Mainly want to get him on. He wrote an article the other day, which we'll touch on in the interview, called In Need of a Holiday. If you haven't read it yet, go read it right now or read it while you're listening to this podcast. It is absolutely wonderful. He covers a lot of things, tells you why Holiday is going to be missing, you know, why this team's going to be missing Holiday, really. Sorry. And, you know, let's just jump into it. I'm excited about this interview. And take a listen. Tweet us your thoughts on everything, your expectations for this season, and let's get started. And joining me on Locked On Pelicans is Graham McQueen, writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, along with me. Great site. You should all check it out. Graham, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be on.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on today because I think it was last week you wrote an article about Holiday talking about how a lot of things, really. How important he is to the Pelicans, how well he played last year. So I'm assuming you're really under the impression they're going to miss him significantly while he's out right now.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to struggle to start the season. Probably on both ends a little bit.
You know, I mean,
he's just so important to what they do, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And especially on the defensive end where he's so strong and can kind of guard two positions, which – when the Pelicans struggle with perimeter defense, they need a guy with that, you know, versatility.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing with him is, you go into the season capable of having a starting lineup of 5-plus defenders, right? You could start, Holiday next to Moore, Hill, Davis, and Oshik, and you have 5-plus defenders on the court. And now without Holiday, and, you know, in addition to, Pondexter, you're forced to kind of play – someone who's got some kind of big weakness. Right now it looks like we're starting Frazier. His shot is either on or it's off, and then he's, you know, kind of a liability on the defensive end. And then the first person you bring off the bench for a guard is, again, another guy who's not a plus defender. I mean, you can bring on Langston Galloway, but, you know, he's hit or miss as well. Although I do think he will be good for us. I don't think he's, you know, like a starting caliber player. So without Holiday and then some of the other guys, it turns into, instead of having, you know, all the plus defenders, you get whittled down to having to play, you know, not starters. So it's a story we've all heard before.
This is nothing new for Pelicans fans at all, unfortunately. So Frazier's played pretty well in preseason, though. I talked about him the other day and about his assist percentage being incredibly high. But so what do you think the biggest differences between him and Holiday are going to be while Holiday's out? So, you know, what are the Pelicans exactly missing?
Well, this is one thing that I wrote about on the offensive end, is just Holiday getting to the rim. Frazier's look good. He does these probing drives, but he almost never looks for his shot in the paint or at the rim. You know, if they overplay the pass, he'll take it. But you see guys overplaying the pass because they know he's looking for a dump off or a kick out. Just his own individual production could be a little bit more. Now, the starting lineup has looked good, I think, throughout the preseason. whether it's been him or Galloway. But Frazier has looked, he's looked fine. I was a little bit, I put it in the beginning of the piece that I wrote about Holiday, where, you know, we've seen it before where a guard comes in and looks good in like 20 games and then he just falls off the map with like Norris Cole or Quincy Pondexter for other reasons, just because he hasn't played, you know. So I'm still iffy on Frazier, but he has looked good. I'll say that.
Yeah, it's been like a kind of nice surprise. You got to wonder if he could, it's something that is able to be sustained throughout the season. You know, what I always said last year in this offseason and even now in preseason with how good he's looked, at certain points, someone just has to score and put up numbers on this team.
Right.
You know, it could have been anybody, it seems like. They could have thrown you or I in there and maybe we wouldn't have looked as good as Frazier, but we would have had maybe like a 6-assist night potentially.
Maybe.
You know, I don't think my ball handling skills are that good, but
I don't know who the last 5-6 point guard in the NBA was, but I could be that guy.
Hey, you never know. Trendsetter, right. Trailblazer here.
There you go.
It's got to start somewhere. You'll be the first. No, you make a really good point, though, about Holiday being able to get to the rim, and you talk about it in the article where he actually draws free throws. Right now, outside of Davis, I don't know if there's anyone who can kind of draw free throws for this team and get to the line against really almost any opponent other than Davis consistently. That's something they're going to need.
Yeah, and it's getting to the line and getting in the paint. Right now you're seeing a lot of jump shots, a lot of jump shots. And you could see through four games, we've had two games where we scored pretty well and two games where we kind of struggled to score. It's going to be very hit or miss without those two things. You know, we don't have anybody to get to the line. We don't have anybody to score in the paint. So that's the way I think it's going to go is, you know, if we can kind of tread water till we get some of these guys back by being on more nights than not, you know, awesome. But I think we might struggle a little bit.
I know it's kind of disappointing that we feel like we now need to almost rely on Tyreke Evans to come back. And like, this is a guy I'm like pining for to come back and get on the court when he's a guy I haven't really liked before on this team.
I haven't liked him either. And a lot of people are just assuming he's no longer, like, he's just not even in the plans, you know, for whatever reason. They're good reasons. He didn't look good last year at all. But I think with the injury, that puts them in a situation where you have a really talented player, you can at least, you don't have to start him. You could bring him off the bench to kind of work him back in while still shopping him if that's what they're doing. But somebody like that who can put pressure on a defense, who can put pressure to beat their man off the dribble, right, just right there to make plays, because you've seen the good ball movement in the preseason. It has looked better. And I think as you get guys back who can beat their man off the dribble and kind of start this, you know, draw help defender and start this actual like ball movement of getting a guy a wide open look, it's going to be so much easier. And, you know, you just hope that if Tyreke Evans comes back, he looks more willing to do what they're asking him to do. And if not, you know, I think he's going to have a pretty short leash. So.
Yeah, I think the only reason I think he's really started, you know, in the few games he played last season and the season before that was due to injuries. I think the plan was always to start Holiday and Gordon back there with Evans coming off the bench and leading that second unit, which seems to make more sense. But it's like you say, at a certain point, if you want to have good ball movement, you need to force rotations on the defense.
Right.
Tyreke Evans, with his ability to get to the rim, can at least do that. Again, can many other Pelicans players, you know, not so much. We have a bunch of spot-up shooters. We have Tim Frazier, who's a pass-first point guard, but like you said, isn't attacking the basket a ton. And it's unfortunately a guy they almost kind of need right now. And running him with the second unit, there's, I guess, worse things we could be doing.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, go ahead. You're good.
I was going to say, so switching for a second here, I know you've watched all the preseason games, and you said you rewatched the game from the other night with the one Davis went out. You don't think this injury is as bad as people are making it out to be?
I don't. Well, people see the headline. You know, they don't see the play. They're not the doctors. You know, it's watch the 3 or 4 or 5 plays after where Davis stays out there and sets a screen, rolls. You know, he's not hobbling. You know, I'm not a doctor either, but if he's out there not walking around gingerly, you know, he's actually moving a little bit. It makes me believe that this is a little bit more precautionary. The fact that he was able to stay in the game, move around, and then they call him out, you know, and you go look at those plays and see how he's moving, I think it's going to be fine. And even if he is out for like 2 weeks or so, you know, now's the time to do it. You know, squeeze it in right now before the season starts. So,
no, I'm with you.
It's going to be fine.
I think it's a bit precautionary. I think they're going to reevaluate once they're back in New Orleans. If they're not already back, I don't know their exact travel schedule, but he went right back in the game. Everyone forgets this.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, so I ranted about this yesterday. You don't think Anthony Davis is soft either, do you?
Oh, absolutely not.
No, a guy is out for 10 days, 15 days, whatever they're going to have him now, and he went right back in the game. Like you said, was setting screens, was rolling to the rim, was putting pressure on it, running full speed. I think this was a whole – I think it's people get excited to, you know, take their stands on certain things, and there was so much of it yesterday. It was pretty awful.
It's like a complex – you know, that's developed among Pelicans fans. That's like, oh, here we go again. You know, and it's not, you can't blame anybody for it because it keeps happening. But
I was going to say, there's some good reason for this.
Yeah. So it's not like you can, yeah, but it's just annoying to deal with. But I don't, you know, you kind of have to calm yourself down and look at it and say, okay, it doesn't look that bad. It's going to be fine.
You're not just looking towards the draft lottery just yet and prospects that they can draft next year with their, what, top 3 overall pick, probably.
That's the most ridiculous thing. I mean, even you
before
heard
the
it,
first
was rate, it,
before the Jim, preseason's over, people are saying this.
Yeah, like it's like Jim Mora on his rant the other with the Saints. It's like I think they were 1-3, and then he's like, the season's over, but they still got 12 more games. You know, it's the same thing. We haven't even played one game yet.
That was a really good impression, by the way.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I love that. But yeah, it's how are you gonna? All right, you know what? I'm just not gonna care this year. You know, before we even play a game, we have, let alone the fact that we have completely new roster, and you know, we do have some things to watch that don't involve wins, right? Just watching Buddy Hield to see how he does, watching Anthony Davis to see if he bounces back from his quote unquote down year.
Down year where he posted nearly the same.
Right.
Game numbers is the season before.
Yeah, so there's a lot, I mean, there's a lot the Pelicans need to figure out this year.
I mean, this was never going to be the season where they were making a deep playoff push. This was kind of the transition year, the retooling year. Not a rebuilding year, but they're kind of trying to retool on the fly a little bit. So there's still a ton to watch for. If they don't make the playoffs this year, the plan's always the season after and the one after that in, you know, the latter half of Anthony Davis's extension.
Right, and I think we're in a good, as like a Pelican fan or someone who's going to watch the games, I think we're in a good, we don't have to worry about, you know, winning or losing. Obviously, it's disappointing if we come out of the gates 0-10 or whatever, but I think we're in a position where we can relax and just watch some basketball, right? Because if we make the playoffs, good. If we don't, or we're right there, you know, whatever. This season's not about making the playoffs. It's about other things. So
getting this defense right.
Getting the defense, number one thing.
So what have you seen from that in preseason so far?
I got something in the works right now I'm going to put up in a day or two. It hasn't looked pretty. You know, there's no way to say that, you know, put it – you know, it just hasn't looked pretty. But there has been, like, some promising things. And for one, it's the starting lineup. I think every single game the starting lineup has gone out there and looked, you know, good to passable. I think, again, I don't have it in front of me, but it's like through the first 6 minutes against the Pacers, they'd only given up like 11 points or something like that. That first game against Houston, the starting lineup was playing really well. Like they were holding them down. I think Houston only had like 12 points with 3 minutes left in the quarter, or 15 points with 3 minutes left in the quarter. And then, of course, all the subs come in. And they score 16 points over the final 3 minutes. But that starting lineup, and it's specifically with Omer Asik and Anthony Davis, who have the two lowest defensive ratings on the team. And it's really a breath of fresh air to see Asik. You know, it's 4 preseason games. It's nothing to buy into. But, I mean, just watch the guy. Look at him moving around out there. He's moving better than he did last year. And that at least is something to take away. And then there's one guy, I just want to bring him up because no one's really talking about him. Our most expensive signing of the summer, Solomon Hill, no one's really mentioned or said anything about him. For good reason, he's not really putting up much or doing too much. But I got to say, like, I got a couple things here. He looks good, at least. You know, he looks like he could help us, you know. And I'm just waiting for that moment when Drew Holiday comes back and we can consistently play five positive defenders on the floor. I think the defense is going to be good.
I mean, that's going to be the big thing. He's the key to it. As much as Solomon Hill was a missing piece and someone they needed to add to slow down teams on the perimeter, and that's what's killed the Pelicans. I also think that's part of the reason why Oshik and Davis have looked bad defensively these past two seasons. They're just getting blitzed on from perimeter offensive players attacking the rim with no help, basically. Yeah. Holiday's the guy that makes that work, especially because he's got such long arms that he can stick in the passing lanes. The turnovers the Pelicans force when Holiday's out there goes like significantly more than when he's not on the court.
He's got this really unique knack of moving his feet and getting his body right there in front of the defender when they try to drive by him. I think we've seen it a couple of times. He gets called for fouls on it every now and then, but I'm not sure it is. He's just got these amazingly quick feet and stays in front of his – he can stay in front of his man.
It's not easy for other Pelicans to do this.
When he comes back, I'm excited. But until then, I'm just grading and looking and seeing where we are.
Try and tread water for that period of time. Yeah. So you mentioned Oshik. I want to touch on him because he's looked better this preseason. And I know it's preseason. It's a four-game sample size. But it's also the only stuff we have to go on. And if you ignore it, you're doing a disservice to him and to kind of your analysis, even if it's not what you want to base everything on. Do you think it's just he needed to be healthy to look at least passable, playable, serviceable, not necessarily like a full-time starter, someone who's going to be significantly improved, but not, you know, just the heaping pile of flaming trash that he was last season?
I think it was any number of reasons last season. You know, after a while, they gave up injuries, conditioning, anything, you know, motivation. Everything was just wrong, and he looked bad. He didn't look like – a lot of players looked like they weren't giving it their all at a lot of times. But just the one thing that I can say from watching this is he is moving better. You know, he's challenging shots better. The free throw thing might be fool's gold. For those of you who haven't heard, he's like – I forget the numbers, but he's shooting like 70% or something from the line. Like
it's significantly higher than his career average. That's the one part I don't think is about to change.
Yeah, so that's probably fool's gold, but it's the main thing is him moving better. You know, you want him deep on just that's it. He's there to play defense and rebound. That's his quote. He's like, I'm here to play defense and rebound. And Dell Demps is 100% correct when he said it that for us to be good, we need him to be good. Because he's really going to be an anchor for us. If not, we don't have an anchor. You know, playing Davis at that small ball five is pretty, you know, appealing. But it's mostly from an offensive end. We haven't seen like a small ball lineup that's been able to succeed in any way defensively.
No, not at all. And I mean, even then, that's only going to be situational. They're not in position like the Golden State Warriors are. Even the Cavs, when they kind of threw LeBron at the five and made a bit of a run, this team is not in exact position to dictate the flow or the pace of the game and what the opponent does.
Right. So he's going to have to be good for us to be good. And he looks better. Like he's moving around better. The block shots look nice. I thought he sent a couple right back into James Harden's face was kind of nice.
Just stick it to him a little bit.
I like those games because I mean Harden put up some numbers, but he got blocked like twice from Oshik, and he also got stripped twice by Hill in like a one-on-one ISO situation. So now,
there's times when there's the way I've been looking at it is you can't really judge this team as a whole in preseason right now, partially due to Holiday not being there and all the injuries, Davis leaving early, and the fact that their rotations are a bit screwy right now. But you can kind of judge individual performances.
Yeah.
You know, Solomon Hill's looked good defensively at times when he was matched up against Ryan Anderson in the first game against the Rockets. He brutalized Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
He got to the line seven times. Anderson had four fouls. It showed that, you know, even if he's the worst offensive player, a team can't necessarily hide their worst defender on him, which I thought was pretty nice to see. Yeah. Anyone else that's jumped out at you in preseason?
I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Buddy Hield, and like he's had his moments. Diallo, actually, he had some nice minutes the other night. I'm not sure what they're going to do with him. Is he going to go down to the D League? Is he going to kind of sit on the end of the roster or on the end of the bench? You know, but he knocked down like a baseline jumper. And yeah, I mean, he's been a little bit of a, not a surprise, but he looks like he might have like a spot, you know. They're giving a lot of minutes to Lance Stephenson.
That I think is just still on a trial. So what do you think about him? So first and foremost, let's say, do you think he's going to make the team or not?
I've gone back and forth on this so much. I'm just going to say yes, because of the reasons that we're, you know, that we need Holiday, right? We need somebody to drive the rim, put pressure on the defense, because there literally is not someone who's going to put pressure on the defense. You know, Buddy's done it to some extent, but it's a pull up. He's been nice making plays off the dribble, like unexpectedly. But Lance is going to be the one to drive, and you know, you just hope that he does it within the offense and not just kills possessions. And he's going to be on a short leash if he does make the roster anyway. So, but I would put my money on yes right now.
Over,
but I might
Alonzo G being cut. Yeah.
Yeah, I might vote differently at the end of the day today. So.
I was going to say, so do you want him on the team is the next question.
I mean, I think he can do more for this team than Alonzo G can.
He's not the worst defender in the world either. You
He's
know,
not the worst defender. Serviceable. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, what is G going to do? You know, he's a good defender. He can't really do anything on offense, and guys kind of like him. And sure, there's a spot for that guy in the league, but we need a little bit more right now, you know.
Exactly. You just need more overall talent.
Yeah.
And then what have you thought about Etuan Moore so far? He's another guy that's come up a ton.
He's like my shining star, because I wrote about Etuan Moore before we signed him, saying we needed to sign him. So that's like the one time.
Making you look like a genius here.
That's like the one time that I actually looked good in like the in these offseason predictions. But he's been fantastic, and he's going to help us a lot. You can see it with the preseason already. When his shot's off, it's off. But he's still not, you know, it's not one of these guys where if his shot's off, he's not giving you anything. He can take over a little bit of the ball handling. He can guard ones, twos, maybe even some threes, you know, if they're playing small. But he's going to be a very consistent presence for us. If you watch the shots he gets, he's getting the same shots every time. It's just whether he makes or misses them. And they're within the offense, and he's still looking to make plays. You know, he's going to be a consistent presence for us, and I'm really happy we got him.
It's nice to have a shooter that when the ball hits their hands, he's willing to have it leave his hands. Unlike Anderson or Gordon, when the ball got to them, it was staying with them and they were shooting. He's willing to make like an extra pass, it seems like. And, you know, I was saying the other day, they don't have – the Pelicans' assist numbers are up overall significantly in terms of assist percentage. It's up like 10% this preseason compared to last year, and I wish we could see – the secondary assist, the hockey assist numbers, but they don't have the tracking data for preseason up yet. And I'm going to be curious to see. You would assume that's going to be up as well.
Yeah, I would hope so. And the thing is, Hill and Moore, the two big additions, the thing that you like about them on the offensive end, it's like you said, it hits their hands and something's happening. They're decisive in their movements. Right? Hill maybe can't do that much, but he's not going to grab the ball and hold it and look around. Like, he knows where it's going to go before he gets it. Same thing with Moore, and it really helps with the pace of the offense. I think that they're just better fits, you know. So at least we got that right.
Yeah, well, I worry with Hill that fans aren't going to really like him a ton since he's not going to put up good box score numbers and everything. But it's like you said, the ball hits his hands, he's not killing your offense, and he's going to be kind of like an unsung hero that I think if you're just kind of a casual basketball NBA Pelicans fan, you're not going to really see his contributions. But man, watching him, even without the ball, his movement when he gets the ball, like you said, how he just passes it, fires off a pass quickly.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful to see, and it's going to fit. He's just such like a perfect fit. He also seems just like an incredibly, incredibly smart guy, an incredibly smart basketball player. And how many times did we lament basketball IQ last season? And it seems like that's not what we're talking about this preseason, so that's been a nice change.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to see. And you know, we brought Hill in to be this defensive stopper, and you don't want to – this is just me personally taking my thing, right? But we shouldn't heap all that pressure of him being like the our wing stopper. You know, I think he's good. I think he's a good defensive player, but he has only been in the league for 3 years. One of them he didn't even play, and another one he barely played. So he hasn't logged a lot of, you know, NBA minutes comparatively, and I don't think he's there yet, but it's promising. You know, that's what I'm saying about this season is it's a work in progress. You know, if Hill comes in and he's not putting up huge stats and, you know, he's good defensively, but he's not locking everybody down, that's okay. You know, he's only in his fourth season in the NBA and hasn't, you know, exactly played that much to begin with, right? So it's a process. We're in a process now, to quote Dell Demps and taken from the 76ers. So
yeah. I'm going to hate that word by the end of the season now, just as I'm God. Sure 76ers fans hate it already.
But I hated it. I had a friend who, you know, I argue with him about the Jrue Holiday trade to this day still. It's like every single time it's an argument and it somehow gets worked in there. Process just gets worked into the conversation. I'm just
Without diving deep on Hinkie here, one of the reasons, since it got brought up, why I've always – I do not like him. And I've talked to tons of Pelicans fans who would love it if he got brought in. And I think Tom Benson would shut that down so quickly because of the extra costs and money that Hinkie brings with how he runs a team. If you're going to build through the draft but you're not good at drafting, you probably need to change your plan. And it's kind of – I think Dell Demps realized maybe they're not great at drafting. He decided he didn't want to do this, and they just went a different route. There's no one way to build a team. The Thunder model doesn't always work. The Lakers' old model of just signing big-name free agents doesn't always work. There's multiple ways to build the team. But if you know you have a weakness, your whole plan about building a team shouldn't revolve around that weakness.
Yeah, it's like you said, there's no one model. There's not really a repeatable model. It's everything changes. It's with the talent. It's not just about getting talent together on paper, because you can do that and it still doesn't work out for whatever reason. It's, you know, you just kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I don't, I'm glad I'm not an NBA GM, because I would get fired immediately. So,
well, to be fair, there's a lot of other GMs who should have probably also been fired immediately. But
yeah, so I guess I would fit right in then.
Like a standard guy who would be in there. I mean, I've talked with people who work for the Pelicans, things like that. I know they do a lot of their research on trying to find out how championship teams were built and going through the history of those teams, you know, the 5-6 years before that, to kind of see what moves they make and see if there's something the Pelicans can do to emulate that. It's not like they're just kind of going out there being, let's sign this guy.
Yeah,
you know, they do their due diligence in their research, and you know, for their situation, whether that's monetary constraints, you know, just because there's a salary cap doesn't mean teams are going to spend up to it. Just because there's a hard cap doesn't mean that, you know, the owners or the people, their budget allows them to do that. There's a lot of internal stuff that goes on that doesn't really get talked about and reported.
Oh yeah,
and you know, the Pelicans being one of the five smallest markets in the NBA, I think they're bottom five. I forget where exactly they fall in. You know, this isn't a basketball city. Saints are still going to be number one. LSU is still going to probably be more popular than the Saints, potentially high school football as well in Louisiana. And so, you know, they're not getting a lot of the revenue that other teams are, unfortunately. And, you know, now that it looks like the lockout's going to be avoided, maybe that'll change some of it to help them out. But, you know, they don't have the spending power and some of the other power that other teams do, and it's a fact of life. So Dell Demps needs to get creative, or find a model, or find, you know, a capital P process that fits their specific situation, which is going to be different from every other team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. This is the year that we'll kind of, you know, this is where it's all about figuring out what's going on. So,
yeah. So I think that's a good place to wrap it up today. Graham, thanks for joining me. Everyone check out his article on bourbonstreetshots.com. It's in need of a holiday. I'll tweet it out as well. It's definitely something you should read as we gear up for the season. And again, thanks for joining me. We'll definitely have you on a couple times throughout the year.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoyed it.
Thank you all for listening to Locked On Pelicans at the end of my second week doing this. I'm your host, Jake Madison, writer with bourbonstreetshots.com, at Nola Jake on Twitter. It's been a fun ride so far. We're going to keep doing these daily. Enjoy your weekend wherever you are. There's a ton going on in New Orleans, so there's going to be no shortage of fun being had. And we will see you next week, starting on Monday, for 5 more days of Pelicans podcasts.